SMQBs episode 154. This is our first episode where we get to say that the Sunday Morning Quarterbacks are brought to you by Assembly Legal, makers of Neos case management system. Check them out. You can go to their website at assemblysoftware.com. More to come on Neos over the next couple of weeks, but we are thrilled to be partnering with them and really appreciate their support of the pod. Let's get into it, gents. Who are we bringing to a bar this week?
Are we allowed to serve non-alcoholic drinks at this bar?
You can do, sure thing. That's very hip with the youngsters these days, I hear.
Yeah, because I'm bringing a 14-year-old to the bar. I'm bringing Kevin Sullivan, who I'm sure you guys have heard of by now, is a household name. Kevin Sullivan will be playing for Roosters Manchester City at 18 years old. But until then, he is America's best homegrown talent. He will be debuting for his hometown Philadelphia Union this summer and would be the youngest American ever to play and debut professionally in any of the major American sports. It's a great story. It's kind of like a high school pitcher phenom being signed at age 18 and starting out in single A. It's a long road to see if he actually makes the Man City team at 18, but this is about as great as America has had to offer on the soccer pitch. So I'm going to have a Shirley Temple with Kevin.
I like to call Man City my annuity.
Well,
oh boy.
We'll see. Arsenal may have something to say about that.
All right, Rooster, who are you bringing to the bar?
I am going to bring Tom Thibodeau to the bar. I love the guy. I love the Knicks. I love what they've done this year. But damn it, I'm so tired of his grudges that he has against players on the team. He gets guys on his team who he just doesn't like for some reason or another and refuses to play them. He did it with Obi Toppin, and man, we could sure use Obi right now with all the injuries to the front court. And he's done it with Jericho Sims, who's a 6'10" center who never gets in the game, despite the fact that our entire front court is decimated. It's just too much. So he needs to grow up and get over this, whatever's going on, and I'd like to pour a few down his throat and loosen him up on that.
All right, Pope, what do you got?
Jason Kidd. I want to talk to him about his thoughts on how we close out Oklahoma City and who we'd rather play. If he would tell me after I gave him several cocktails between Minnesota and Denver, who he thinks Dallas matches up better with.
He'll beat either one.
Really? Wow. Okay. Well, we're going to get
a hot sports opinion.
I'm bringing one Rory McIlroy to the bar.
No milk.
And buying him a glass of champagne for winning the Wells Fargo over the weekend. Two Eagles in the last round. And I just really think that Milk would enjoy sitting with Rory and talking to him. I think he's probably, he's a big fan. And it's his favorite golfer, I think. And so I'm sure he would like that. So,
for your drink when you walk away, Rory. Cover your drink.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys. Well, let's go. Let's jump into it. We've got NBA and NHL playoffs going on. Let's start with the NBA. Rooster, you going to get us started here?
Sure. We're down to four teams in the East. The Celtics are two up on the Cavs. And, after looking shabby in one game, they came back and showed the Cavs who's boss. I'm a little worried, though, without Porzingis. I don't think the Celtics can beat whoever comes out of the West right now. I just don't see it. They're just not tough enough down low. And, Tatum is looks like a little regression going on in this playoffs. He doesn't stack up to the other superstars like a guy named Anthony Edwards, for sure. And, you know, earlier this year, we would have thought Tatum was right up there, top five superstar players in the league. He's not playing like that right now. I think the Celtics are going to win the East, particularly now that the Knicks are destroyed by injuries. But I don't see them beating the Mavs, the T-Wolves, or the Nuggets. And the Knicks,
interesting.
It's just a sad thing if you're a Knicks fan to wait all these years, 50 years really, for what looked like could be the, you know, at least playing the Celtics in the East Finals. And, you know, the injuries have just, I don't think they're going to get past the Pacers now in this series. They're tied 2-2. I don't think they get out of that series.
And
don't have the horsepower.
Home court for the Knicks, though, is something that they really thrive on. I mean, they get 2 of 3 at home. They win game 5. You don't like their odds to close them out?
I don't like their odds. I don't say they can't do it. These guys are playing almost the entire game now because Tibbs is not using anyone off the bench. They can for sure do it. They almost won the first game in Indy. They almost pulled that out. And then, of course, they got blown out in the fourth game. But you can't play guys like Hart 48 minutes a game and keep going like that. It's just impossible.
Well, here's the thing. The Knicks rely upon just dagger shooting. You know, they're a rhythm team where once they get in rhythm, they're the best shooting team right now in the playoffs. But when you start losing your legs, I mean, Tibbs went with a 7-man roster basically in the first round, 2 guys off the bench. And I think this Knicks team goes as far as OG's health. He is such a difference maker defensively. And, you know, say what you want about all the scoring that comes from the Nova guys offensively. OG is critical to that team. He's clearly aching. And I couldn't agree with you more, Rooster. If Tibbs doesn't figure out a way to extend that bench, they're just going to run out of gas. It is a great story, notwithstanding my being pissed off at them.
If you've ever had a high hamstring strain, you know, like right up to your butt level, that doesn't get better in a few days.
And I'll tell you, when you get old and you've had that injury before and you go out and you go running a little bit, I know running, you didn't drink. But you know, like that injury comes back and you feel it. I mean, that is one that for some reason it's hard to recover, and it lingers and lingers.
Yeah.
When you hurt that part of the hamstring for some reason.
Yeah, I don't see him being effective in the Pacers series again, if he even comes back. And if he comes back, he's probably going to tweak it again. So I've got the Celtics playing the Pacers and blowing them out to win the East and then losing to whomever comes out of the West. What do you think?
Wow. Well, sounds like there's quite a prize to be played for in the West, because, you know, with KP, I think Boston was the consensus favorite to win the title. I guess I haven't heard anything new. I assume he's out for this round. Have they said anything about the finals, if he makes that they make the Eastern Finals?
I haven't heard.
Well, even if he comes back, Pope, he's not going to be 100%. So, yeah.
Pope, I want to ask you a question, because you said that you wanted to sit down at the bar with Jason Kidd to find out how Dallas will close out the Thunder and who they want to play. Now, just I am looking at the internet, and it is a 2-1 series right now, right?
Yes.
It's not 3-0.
It's not 3-0, but after tonight, when yours truly will be there rooting on the Mavericks in game 4, hopefully it will be 3-1. And at that point, I don't think the Mavericks are going to lose the series. So tonight's the big night.
When it's 2-2 after tonight, remember this moment, please.
That'd be a terrible jinx.
Be happy to.
I know. Wow. Okay, Pope. Well, other than the Mavs, should we just size them up with a ring or whatever?
No,
what else is happening?
Let's not go there yet. Look, I think the more interesting series, potentially, you know, going to game 7, is Denver and Minnesota. What a schizo series that is. I mean, you've got the defending NBA champions who lose the first two games on their home court, which I think that hadn't been done in years, if at all, and got blown out, embarrassed at home by the T-Wolves and Ant-Man and the gang in game two, to the point that old Chuck Barkley said, you know, you can basically print it here, but they are going to get swept. They are Minnesota is a superior team, and they're going to take care of business and sweep them away. Something happened between game two and game three with the defending champions, because they came out and they were spitting fire the last two games.
Murray got healthier. That's one thing.
Jamal Murray got healthier, but they also started playing better. I mean, clearly they played with an edge. Michael Malone, you know, you talk about this coaching matter. He did something. I know he put together a snippet of all the national commentators saying that they were finished and dead, and used that as motivation. But, you know, something he did, something he tweaked, worked in game three and four. And now we have a three-game series with Denver having a home court. And I think this could go seven.
You know, that game last night, that's
Nuggets in six.
That's, you think the Nuggets are going to
next two?
Probably watch the most of. I thought the Timberwolves looked really bad.
Yeah.
They just seemed like they would just dribble into the paint without beating anybody and just get stuck in there. Their shooting wasn't good. I really was just surprised. I couldn't believe they had taken two games off of Denver, because Denver was just so much crisper and just looked so much better coached on fundamentals of the game. And nothing showed that better than that last 20 seconds of the first half.
Oh yeah.
Which was absolutely bananas. The way, you know, cause just when Minnesota got back in the game, it seemed like 8 points, you know, somebody said that it was Reggie Miller-esque, the way they scored those points. But I don't know. I mean, Minnesota did not look like a good team to me.
Well, Ant-Man is clearly a super, superstar.
Yeah.
There's no taking that away from him. He is awesome.
But he can't do it himself.
The problem Minnesota has is the rest of, particularly Karl Anthony Towns, is immature still and not that bright. And so he can't sit back and be a role player and let Anthony Edwards take the whole show over. He seems to feel like he needs to get his share, which is not a championship team play. And he's dumb. He just makes stupid decisions.
The T-Wolves are very, very close to fixing this. They, I think, were plus 45, something insane with Anthony Edwards on the floor. They lost the game by 8. They were minus 13 when he was off the floor. I mean, he can't play 48 minutes, but if Anthony Edwards is on the floor, they win that game. They, you know, the math is straight up there. The problem that they have is that this guy, who I don't know why they keep giving him the goddamn defensive player of the year, when he shows up and he's just paper thin in the playoffs. Rudy Gobert needs to play defense. If Rudy Gobert plays even half of his trophy level defensive player of the year, and Anthony Edwards plays like Anthony Edwards, this will definitely go seven. The T-Wolves could pull it off. I don't think either things are going to happen. I think Jokic is too smart.
You've got some problems with some NBA awards. We're going to hear a little bit more about that later, I think. Is that
a little bit.
So they play Gobert. They play Gobert down low and Towns up high on offense. And Gobert has no post moves.
None.
Right.
He's the least coordinated big man.
And
in the playoffs,
and the Joker is totally abusing him underneath with his head fakes.
Yeah,
Gobert is going for the fake, and Joker's just hitting Gordon or somebody with a dunk. They can't contain him right now in the post.
But I want to go back to the Mavs, because I think we're seeing the long-awaited Kyrie that we wanted to see. What he's capable of doing since he went off the deep end and said the earth was flat. Those two players, setting aside what PJ Washington is doing, which is unbelievable, but those two players in Doncic and Kyrie can carry this team all the way to a championship. I think that they're going to carry the West. They're more savvy, more experienced, smarter than a young. The OKC team is so fun. And SGA is definitely a future of the league along with Anthony Edwards. But I just think they have the experience. They have the smarts. They have, I was the first one to say, I don't think Jason Kidd has the stripes to do this. He's coaching them very well in the playoffs. And Kyrie Irving is playing out of his mind. And I think they're going to pull it off. I think the Mavs are going to come out of the West. I really do.
I think a fix for OKC is to get Giddy out of the starting lineup. The guy's too streaky. If he's hitting, if he's hot, he's an asset, but he misses a lot of shots he shouldn't be taking, and he plays Olay defense.
I mean, SGA's supporting cast with Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren has been good, but not great. They need somebody else to step up with SGA, and the difference in the series has been that Kyrie has been able to step in when Luka is playing hurt. Not even close to himself, but yet he's still, you know, still scoring.
What is the injury? What is the injury, Pope? Do we know?
Yeah, he's got a right knee.
Right knee and right ankle
now as a result of a trip. But
and is there any hope that he's going to be healthy, or is this going to be something that just is bad for the rest of the playoffs?
I think you got what you get. I think he's going to be. He gets better after two days, and then he goes through the game and has a regress. The big difference to me, I think we mentioned earlier, was PJ Washington has stepped up. When they got him in the Charlotte trade, the NBA commentators were like, "Oh, he's never going to reach his potential at Charlotte." He wasn't the guy, but somehow you got to give credit to Jason Kidd. Somehow he's got PJ mentally really where he needs to be, and his deadly three-point shooting has made a huge difference in this series. Like in game three, they got down by 10 points very quickly in the third quarter, and you were like, "Oh, what's going on here?" Didn't look like they knew what they were doing. And then PJ helped with a 16-0 run along with Kyrie, who just second half Kyrie has been elite all world in this series. And so, the Mavericks have almost a three-headed monster, and that's what it takes. That's the recipe it takes to get a title.
I still think the Nuggets are the team to fear in the West. They've 100%. Got the three-headed monster, and they're all experienced, and Gordon is starting to play like he did last championship run. And like I said, Murray's healthy. He appears to be healthy again. And then Pope, if they get Pope hot from three, they're tough to stop.
I mean, I think that's the final, the West finals that we're going to see. And I think, Golden State boat raced the Mavs 2 years ago when they were a fluke finalist. I think this year, whether the Mavs make it or not, it's going to be a much better series, assuming that it's Denver.
Interesting. Well, I think I have some money on Dallas, so I'd be okay with them.
What time's the game tonight, Pope?
The old 8:30 with the 8:50 tip on TNT. What's the first game's over?
Not 9:30 Eastern time.
Yeah, God, it's just brutal.
It's brutal. It is brutal.
Yeah, way past my bedtime. Old men.
Way past my bedtime.
Sleep is over.
All right. Anything else on the NBA, guys?
Well, let's talk about the lottery for a second.
Yeah.
The Hawks with the 3% chance of getting the first pick, get the first pick in a year that maybe it doesn't matter because it doesn't really sound like there are any tier one guys coming out in the draft this year. But what do you guys think about this system where a team like Detroit is clearly the worst team in the league, and for the second year in a row, they get, just the luck of the draw, they get a bad pick. I think there needs to be a fix. Does anyone agree with that?
Totally.
I think they said that the Wizards were the only team of the teams that should have been in the top four. The Wizards were the only one that actually ended up in the top four.
The argument from the league is, well, we don't want to encourage tanking. So maybe you just do the, my thought is this, maybe you have a lottery, but you limit the lottery to the three worst teams. And therefore, whoever, you know, if someone's going to tank, then they still don't get guaranteed first pick. But you can't have all these teams in the lottery. What are they, 13 teams in the lottery or something like that? It just dilutes the chances so badly that you get these results where teams that are in the playoffs the year before are getting the number one pick. It's crazy.
I think for picks, I'm very close to that. I think for the top three spots in the draft, it should be limited first to teams 1 through 5, and only the worst 5 teams could get the number one pick. And then whoever that is, then you go the next 5 teams, 2 through 6. And so only the top 7 worst teams can get the 3 best picks in the draft. And thereafter, it can move around wherever.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if this were a banner year for picks, you'd take a team that was a playoff team, the Hawks.
Right.
That were playing kind of injured, and then they jump right back up.
What if it was a Wimby year? They would have gotten Wimby.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of Wimby, the Spurs have 2 picks in the first 8 this year.
Pop's going to build
4 and 8.
Pop's going to build a juggernaut. And Oklahoma City has like 9 picks in the first round of the next 3 or 4 years. Ridiculous.
All right. Sorry about that. Let's go on to the NHL.
Well,
yeah, let's do it. Hope. I'm the only one with any rooting interest in the NHL at this point, right? Although Rooster did have a good pick.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm as you guys know, I'm a seasonal NHL guy, and I live and die
at best.
Well, if the seasonal,
he's seasonal if the Stars are good,
right,
at the end of the year,
right? Exactly.
That's correct. I'm seasonal.
So our fans understand, the only reason Pope hasn't been on the last couple of weeks is because he was ice fishing during hockey season. He's very hard for
it. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Traveling. Yeah. I was in bed traveling with a team. I'll report back soon. The Stars, who are the number one seed in the West, do have a 2-1 advantage over the Avalanche with the game 4 tonight against
the
Avs.
So that means they're going to close them out, right? 2-1 Dallas lead, close out, done, coming out of the
same
West.
Theory. Yeah, same theory. the Avs have led for exactly 0 seconds in this series because overtime is not counted. The Avs did win game 1 in overtime after the Maverick, the Stars blew a 3-0 lead. So the Stars have dominated. I don't see the Avs winning tonight. I think it's over in 5. Canucks and Oilers, you know, Canucks have the 2-1 advantage. They're first seed in their division, and I think it's going to be a Stars Canucks West final. And then Rooster, you can speak about the Rangers, but it looks like Rangers Panthers in the East.
Why does Boston suck in the postseason lately, Rooster?
I don't know, man. I mean, they won the first game, and the Panthers then ripped off 3 straight.
And like ripped them in 3, right?
Yeah. It's an aging team.
Got hurt?
Yeah. But I don't get it. I just don't get it. Last year,
I feel like the NHL playoffs, to me, are the most unpredictable, right? Because like you get a hot goalie, and it can change everything. You get a team that looked great when, you know, how many President's Trophy teams just have never done anything in the NHL playoffs? It's like, it really is 2 very different seasons.
Totally.
When the playoffs.
And home ice doesn't mean anything in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely the most bizarre playoffs.
Our hockey expert Moose said last time he was on just that, you know, you have to have a hot goalie to win the Stanley Cup. And I said to him, what about the Rangers? He said, I don't like their goalie. Well, since then, Igor Shesterkin has ripped off 7 wins. He's 7-0 in the playoffs. And despite the problem with the Rangers is they're 7-0, despite the fact that he has faced the most high danger shots on goal, however it is that the NHL comes up with that statistic, 63 high danger shots on goal. And he's just playing out of his mind and stopping him.
Rooster, I do think it's a little messed up that you threw Miller under the bus there without him even on here. I mean, you know, to defend himself.
That's what we do.
That's right.
Our hockey guy said the Rangers goalie sucks and he's dominating.
Yeah, he also had the Stars out in the first round to the Knights.
Oof.
Old Knights.
Yeah.
Come back out of Anderson.
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know how long the Rangers can keep this up, though, because they have allowed the most shots on goal of any team in this postseason. So if Igor doesn't continue to play great, they're doomed. But 3-1 against Carolina. I think Pope's right. It's going to be the Rangers and the Panthers.
We'll have to ask him for the Stanley Cup preview, but has there been, you know, recently the number one in team in the scoring was Rangers, number two was Stars for points. Have the top two teams in the NHL faced off in the Stanley Cup finals in a while?
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
I mean, it seems to me like they haven't, because just like Bison was saying, you know, you get early round upsets like last year's Bruins.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Anything else on hockey?
Go Stars.
That's it.
Go Stars. Ugh. All right. Well, listen, we've talked, you know, NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs. You know, our listeners know that many of us last weekend, a few of us were at the F1 race. We've got Olympics coming up. There's a bunch of bucket list sports items out there. I mean, we thought we'd maybe talk about some of them. Pope, you want to kick us off on this?
Yeah, I mean, you guys, you did the F1 Miami. Sticking with F1, I mean, I know the one that, even though it's not the greatest race, I know the one that I want to go to is Monaco, because that's just like, you know, the cream de la cream of F1. I know it would be great to go to, you know, Barcelona and maybe some of the other tracks in Italy, but I from my perspective, you know, F1, the top of F1 would be Monaco. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I had that too. I definitely whet my appetite with the F1 race in Miami, which was spectacular. Now we've all had the benefit of having F1 Miami. Hope's absolutely right. There's not really a race to be had, given how narrow the streets are, and whoever's sitting on pole, if they get away cleanly, they're going to win in Monte Carlo. But the scenery and just that is the race that is way high up on my bucket list. For me, and this is a fun one that we'd love to hear from our fans too, as to what things I've been very fortunate to see a bunch of stuff, as I know a lot of you guys have. A lot of us have been to World Series and Stanley Cups, and, you know, I was fortunate to get to a Masters, and I know Pope's gone a number of times to NCAA Finals. I think what would be incredible for me, the top of my bucket list, is I would love to go to World Cup matches. And I'm hoping in 2026
we're gonna get our chance.
Yeah, we get the chance and we make it, because that and really almost any of the high stakes soccer finals where the nationalism is in play and the supporters are crazy, Champions League final, you know, Manchester Derby between Man City, Man U, one of those, I'd love to go to one of those. And I would love to do Ryder Cup, but on foreign soil.
I have that on my list.
Yeah, I mean, it would be fun to do it at home, but then everybody's in the same. I would love, love, love to do Ryder Cup on foreign soil. That's way at the top of my bucket list for sports.
My bucket list is a trifecta with the traveling SMQBs. You know, the Premier League goes August through May. Monaco is in May. I'd like to do a Premier League game, go to the F1 in France, and then play some golf somewhere in Europe afterwards.
That'd be unbelievable.
What a trip that would be, huh?
We need some more sponsors for that.
Yeah.
I lean too hard on you, Assembly.
We wouldn't be watching much of that race, though. We'd be on, hopefully, we'd be on some yacht wearing tuxedos.
Another sponsor.
Yeah, right. Right. We definitely want to be on a yacht here at Monaco. I have Monaco on my list, too. But, and then a couple other races. I mean, I've actually done the Indy 500. I would encourage anybody who hasn't to go. It is quite a spectacle, that's for sure. And sticking with the racing, Daytona 500 is one I want to check out. Oh. Just to see it, just to be there for it one time. And, of course, the Masters. I haven't been to a Masters. I don't know if everyone else here has. But the College World Series is another
great list.
I think in about 2 or 3 years, the Georgetown Hoyas will be there, and I will be following them to it. So,
how about a road trip to Lambeau Field sometime? That would be fun, too.
I did that once. It is really, really great. It is hallowed ground when you're there. You can feel it. It is a spectacular road trip to do. We're going to talk about that when we get to some of the NFL stuff in a second on the schedule. Many of you guys actually, I know we've been to Churchill Downs. Have any of you guys been to the Kentucky Derby itself?
Nope.
No.
I would definitely put that on my list. Any of you guys been to the any of the tennis majors?
Because I have Wimbledon on my list.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. Definitely do Wimbledon.
I mean, I think French Open would be interesting, but Wimbledon to me is like, if I'm going to go to any of the four majors, it's going to be Wimbledon.
I'd also like to go to Cooperstown to the game, to the baseball game. The Hall of Fame game.
What were you saying?
I was saying you've obviously been to a number of Alabama Auburns, I presume, right?
No, not a number of them, but I've been to them, yeah.
Okay. I mean, where would you rank that on people's, because everybody says, if you're on a sports bucket list, you know, doing a sports bucket list, you got to do Alabama, Auburn, Ohio State, Michigan. Did you do Ohio State, Michigan?
When I was in college once. Yeah. It was awesome.
I mean, I think that's got to rank near the top. Don't you think, Pope? I mean, having been to it?
Well, so, you know, Auburn, Alabama is different now because used to it was at Legion Field in Birmingham when it was 50-50. Then they went home and away. And so home and away, it's just not the same as it was. So I would say if you're talking about the 50-50 experiences, Texas, Oklahoma, Texas OU, Red River Shootout and at the Cotton Bowl, which is purely 50-50 during the Texas State Fair, that is something that you ought to do. It is that is over the top fun. And now with them both in the SEC, it's going to be even more interesting.
Have you guys all been to the Masters?
I have.
No.
Yeah, I was 2017. Spieth meltdown, Danny Willett win. Mm. That was heartbreaking.
That was 2009. Tiger's first Masters after the troubles.
After the troubles.
We do need an SMQB road trip to the Masters, though. Again, that should be a lot of fun. We'll get a house.
The other one that I'm going to recruit all of you guys to come to, which every listener, I don't care who you are, needs to put on your sports bucket list. The Phoenix Open during Super Bowl weekend is a spectacle that cannot be missed. Do it before you die, and you may die that week.
It doesn't even have to be Super Bowl weekend, as we've seen this year. The waste management, they cut them off because they were so wasted.
two other baseball ones that I'd like to do. One, they're both newer, the Field of Dreams game. You know, I think we sort of all thought it was going to be very kitschy and sort of just a, you know, kind of a fab thing, but it was very well done the last couple of years. So that, and then also the major league game that they play in Williamsport at the Little League ballpark during the Little League World Series. That looks like it would be just super cool to see a major league game. I guess, though, alternatively, you just go see a game in Oakland when they're playing at the minor league ballpark. So maybe that's the same thing. As any Williams sport. All right. Any other bucket list items?
We definitely want to hear from our fans. So hit us up on our social media. Yeah.
Good one. Yes. Let us know what you like. By the way, House, I know you want to go to Monaco. I agree with you. But how about in Imola with Ferrari taking first and second, or Yeah, we're at Monza with Ferrari going first and second. What would you think of that?
That'd be totally insane.
His shoes would be not touching the ground.
Yeah, that's right.
Have you worn those shoes yet?
Not yet. I'm deciding whether or not I put them in a frame.
Saving them for the right occasion.
Exactly.
He's put them in a shadow box. All right, let's talk one last thing.
It's not really one you would think of, but now with Darcy's kid going to Harvard to row, I've always heard the head of the Charles.
Oh, it's a blast.
A must-see event, and that would be fun to have the pod up there.
It's not necessarily a must-see event. It's a must-attend
event. Must-attend event, yes.
If you like drinking. Do you, Pope?
I've been known to have a few.
All right. House, we get the NFL schedule this week, huh?
It's crazy what the NFL has done, you know, whatever, 750,000, however many people showed up to Detroit to try to see from a mile away, one person's get up on stage, you know, and now everybody is just waiting on the edge of their seat for this Wednesday. We already know what your opponents are for next year,
Yeah. You
know, home and away. We just don't know the dates they're on. And of course, how it's going to play out for your team schedule and all that. There are some leaks, which are some pretty exciting leaks, one of which is not an actual leak. It's confirmed that we open the NFL season with a rematch of the AFC Championship. The Baltimore Ravens are playing at the Kansas City Chiefs. That will obviously be must-see TV. The very next day, confirmed, Philadelphia will be playing Green Bay in the first ever NFL game in Brazil, which should be a lot of fun. It's leaked that on Thanksgiving, the early game is Jags at Lions. And then right in the middle of carving it up, hopefully the Commanders and Dallas will play to a 0-0 tie.
Commanders, bring them.
And then the light blue bowl at night between the Titans and the Chargers. So
light blue bowl.
that will be Thanksgiving. It is rumored that we could have the top three quarterback back-to-back. It is rumored that Caleb will face Drake May at home, the Patriots and Drake May, in week two, and then follow that up in week three by visiting Jaden and the Washington Commanders in D.C. So that would be fun. It is rumored that week four has the Vikings at the Jags in London. So that, you know, the Jags love playing in London.
The London Jaguars, right?
Yeah. They're Tottenham Jags.
And then it is rumored that the Giants and Carolina are playing in Munich in week six.
Yep. Yeah, I saw that.
Will anybody show up to watch that game?
A lot of people.
Why would you export that?
Apparently, contractually somehow, every team has to eventually go overseas. But here's the thing, guys.
They should probably let them stay over there.
I don't know if we're going to reserve this for a punch now or at some point during the season, but what's disappointing me now is that given the incredible product is that the NFL is, now every streaming service is getting in the game. There is no more, of course, gone are the good old days of NBC and CBS and, you know, Fox. Now, YouTube TV, Prime Video, Peacock, ESPN Plus, Netflix. I saw someone do a tweet that if you were to want to watch all the games, and I don't know who could possibly do that, but getting all of those streaming services and the Sunday ticket, it would cost you $855.86 to watch all of the NFL season. As it is, you're going to have to spend money to get Prime Video, Peacock, ESPN Plus, and Netflix just to watch games that really should be free to the fans. I do not like how this is going, but what are your thoughts on that?
So you know, the Sunday ticket is one thing, right? Like having access to every game and being able to just pick is one thing. But you're right, House. I mean, you're talking about quote-unquote nationally televised games, right? Thursday night games, Monday night games, the things that people used to all just sort of come around to watch regardless. And now those are not truly nationally televised games, right?
No, not at all. You're going to have to pay for a service. And there are a lot of people that are either going to be pirating services. You're hearing that pick up, run rampant, or they're going to pay for a service just to be able to watch their team win, play one game. That ain't right. It's just not right.
Yeah, and it's messed up.
I mean, the league is already making so much ridiculous money. The advertisers would come if it were just on CBS and Fox or whatever else, and ESPN. All of these, and by the way, the way ESPN is going, eventually that's going to be just a plain streaming service. It's not going to be part of your cable package. You're going to have to pay whatever per month to have ESPN Plus. And if you want to watch the ESPN Sunday night or Monday night games, that's what you're going to have to do.
And the Amazon broadcast was not good last year.
No.
I mean, there was all sorts of streaming issues with it. It just wasn't produced in a quality way. I didn't think it kind of tarnished, the NFL, hard to tarnish the product, but it wasn't great. It wasn't a great experience.
Was that Al Michaels doing those games?
I think it was.
Yeah, he seemed like he was.
With Kirk Herbstreit, right?
Yeah,
with
he Kirk, seemed like yeah. He was irritated to even have to stoop to that level to do those games and was bored for most of them. It was not
well,
a good
show.
Well,
they were also a bunch of shitty games.
Yeah, well, maybe they ought to have a more enthusiastic, younger announcer then, because it was painful listening to Al Michaels just yawn his way through those.
Yeah, House, you're right, Rooster. You're totally right.
House, was it Peacock that had the playoff game on?
Yeah, Peacock had a playoff game.
Do we have any stats on how many people like discontinued Peacock after the whatever 30-day trial they had to sign up for?
That's a great
99%.
It's all going that way. Apparently, they have now part of the NFL schedule routinely is having Christmas games. Apparently, Netflix is going to get the Christmas games, or at least one of them.
Yeah, I saw that. Maybe both of them.
It's just it ain't right. It ain't right. We probably all have the benefit of having all those services. There's a lot of people that are your ordinary fans that are getting priced out of watching the NFL. I don't like it.
Well, maybe the Hallmark Channel will have, instead of a Christmas special, they'll have the Commanders on since they'll be out of the playoff by then.
Yeah, no, they're likely to have the Buccaneers on this season.
Wow. Listen, Pope.
Yeah.
Listen, Pope. Yeah.
Considering the Cowgirls had such a great off season.
Yeah, the Mavs and Stars.
Oh, no, we are a great regular season team. Don't worry.
Do you know who the last two teams are to be in an NFC in a conference championship game?
The Commanders and the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
That's right. So you're right there with me, buddy.
1992 and 1996.
By the way, Milk can't join us because I think he's skiing in Utah or something like that, but
ski season's over.
I think the NFC East is playing the NFC South this year.
Yeah. Oh.
And there's a score to settle between the Eagles and the Tampa Bay Bucks. So, Milk, we will see you in Tampa whenever that game is scheduled. I plan to be there. I hope you and the Mountain are going to be buying me beers.
Wow. So, Alice, the schedule releases is Wednesday. This week, do you have to subscribe to something to watch it? Have they rented out a city to make the announcement?
Like 200,000 people show up for that?
Yeah.
I think they do release it on the NFL channel. But I think there will be so many leaks that come out that if you just follow your team's own webpage or Twitter page, you will get it probably simultaneously as the NFL channel is releasing it. And it's going to be a fun day. There are going to be a lot of people taking out their charts of the 17 games and rattling off wins and losses. I might as well tell you guys now, you can pretty much mark down the Eagles at 13-4 next year.
13-4.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Look, regular season's irrelevant. I'll explain that later. Wednesday, 8 o'clock Eastern on NFL Network.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll be... maybe we'll put a little stuff on the SMQB Twitter about it as it comes out.
Nice. Speaking of NFL, did you guys see that the Lions signed Goff today to a 4-year extension, $170 million guaranteed, $212 million contract?
Wow.
Hey, that guy was really close to being a bust.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's worked out. And the Lions announced today that their entire 2024 home season tickets have been sold out. Imagine that.
That's
a lot of enthusiasm.
That's great.
Good for them. Yeah, good for them. All right. Anything else on the NFL? Somebody tell me you got a punch. Who are we punting? Don't call it a comeback.
I've got one. And it hurts. It hurts me to do it because I was so excited about this guy. I'm going to punch Deion Sanders.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Coach Pro.
He has turned this beautiful story into just garbage lately by getting into it on social media with ex-players and just getting down in the dirt. And, you know, he just needs to grow up and be a professional. Kids are transferring out of there as fast as they can now. And the ones who transferred out of there because he ran them all off, not only did he embarrass them in the way he showed up and said, most of you guys aren't good enough to be on this team, better hit the transfer portal. He can't leave it alone. He's attacking these kids. These are young men, you know. It's embarrassing. I think the school's starting to become embarrassed by his antics. And it's eventually, I think, going to hurt the awesome job he did turning around this program. I wish he would just grow up and cut it out. I don't know what he thinks he's doing. It's stupid. He needs a milk slap at least.
Get it, Rooster. Good one. Good one. Anybody else with a punch? Do we have a lasso?
Barbecue sauce.
We have a lasso.
All right.
When we were in Miami for F1, you know, a lot of times for these F1 races, particularly in Europe, the preliminary matches, preliminary races before the main event are F2 and F3. This time in Miami, we had the Porsche races and F1 Academy, which are the women's racing. And in Miami, there were two races as part of the circuit for that weekend. And both of those races were won by a woman named Abby Pulig, who is part of the Alpine Academy program. She followed up her Miami result the following week. In this past week, there is an F4 British Racing. The F4 is basically a lot of drivers, young race car drivers who are moving up from karting into F1 will start out at a British F4. It is a sanctioned kind of feeder. And you may have heard of somebody named Lando Norris, who in 2000, yeah, Lando Norris, you might have heard of him. In 2015, he was the British F4 champion. So we're not talking like a league of just like slackers. This past week,
mostly male drivers still.
Almost all male drivers. And this past week, Abby Pulig became the first woman to win an F4 race. She won on the Kent track. She was racing for Rodin Motorsport. But there's some really cool backstory to her. It turns out Abby's now 21 years old. And in 2020, she was really going to be a superstar. She was 17 years old. She had won. She had been on four different podiums and finished sixth overall, but she had never won a race. And in 2021, her team just couldn't find the budget to put her in a car, and it seemed pretty much over for Abby. And she came back for the first time since 2021 in this year. So she's basically been off since 2020, and she comes back. She's dominating the F1 Academy, and now she's beating the guys. And we've talked a lot about on here whether or not there's going to come a day where a woman will get a seat on the actual F1. Maybe now a woman will actually even win one of these races. It's happening at F4. Here's to you, Abby Pulig, of the F4 British race circuit. And dominating the F1 Academy, you are the SMQB's lasso for this week.
Nice. I like it.
Good one. Like good one. Good way one. To go, Abby. Yeah.
All right. Good one for sure. All right. Who's got a buzzer beater?
I do.
Yeah.
Big week in golf. Anytime you have a major is a great opportunity to see the best in the world. And hopefully we'll have a good championship. But it's interesting leading into the PGA at Valhalla this week. We have Scottie Scheffler, who's on a major heater right now. He's won 4 out of 5. Didn't play Wells Fargo last week. Rory has won 2 in a row, the NOLA championship where everybody saw him singing Don't Stop Believing with Shane Lowry. And then he won this week at Wells Fargo going away, just crushed Shoffley in a match play basically yesterday. And then old Cupcake Kepka is coming in hot after winning the LIV Singapore tournament in that 54-hole expedition match. There are 16 LIV golfers, and it's always fun to watch and see how well they do, considering they've been out of competitive championship golf, you know, a much longer this time around. So can Scotty keep the Grand Slam hope alive? Does Rory finally get his first win in major win in 10 years? The last time he won would be Valhalla 2014. It's going to be fun. And, you know, and Tiger, can he make the cut? Can he grind and make the cut once again? One of his great wins there, PGA, when he beat Bob May in that 4-hole playoff, we all remember. So should be fun. Get your entries in for the fantasy too. We'll have that competition as well this weekend.
Fantasy Golf Majors. Join us.
All right.
Yeah, all listeners, fantasygolfmajors.com. It's cheap, it's fun, and you can see how you can stack up against your favorite SMQBs.
Two quick ones. Kylian Mbappe has played his last game for PSG. It's, you know, you can choose between Messi or Mbappe as the best players in the world, maybe Jude Bellingham, but Mbappe has played his last game for PSG and will be taking his talents to the juggernaut Real Madrid, and that will be fun to watch next year. The other big news is Bronny James has been medically cleared to play in the NBA, and it's a little bit of a weird situation because nobody's drafting Bronny for Bronny. You know, a guy with...
You mean 4 points a game in college isn't going to get him a number one draft pick?
You know, the question is, do you guys want for your teams, the Knicks and the Wizards and the Mavs, Milk doesn't have a team, the Sixers, do you want 38, 39-year-old LeBron James, who still obviously can bring it, by drafting Bronny? Because that's basically what you get. Who wants Bronny on their team? It's taking, obviously take up 2 roster spots.
I mean, there hasn't been anything to watch in Washington for a long time. So other than the fact that I actually think we're in a good like place from our rebuilding standpoint, like if you were to put aside the fact that we're actually in a good rebuilding place, I'd say, sure, what the hell, why not? We have literally had nothing of value to watch for as long as I can remember in D.C., so.
You have the number 2 pick, right?
Yeah.
You're going to take him at number 2?
Oh, hell no. But you know what? Guess what?
With no guarantees that LeBron will sign. None. Zero.
There's nobody that anybody else wants at number 2 anyway, right?
Well, there are a couple of guys out of France that I think are
pretty
good.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Tom Thibodeau putting up with that nonsense? There's just no way that would one of them would have to leave immediately, either LeBron or Thibodeau. There's no way that they could coexist.
Well, LeBron is an unrestricted free agent, right, House?
Yeah.
So literally, he can take his talents anywhere he wants to.
He's going
to
go where Bronny goes. He's made it very clear. I want to play a year with my kid.
Yeah, he's are you going to draft without that? Are you going to draft just hoping that's the case?
House, what about Philly? I mean, Philly has not been able to get over the hump. Do you bring in LeBron James to kind of make that team a little tougher mentally? They have the physical talent.
It is exactly the kind of move Daryl Morey would make. But to Rooster's point, if you guys have not seen what I think is far and away the best pod, watch any of the clips on TikTok of Mind the Game between J.J. Redick and LeBron James. You will see what is clearly the smartest basketball player that's ever been on the floor. I mean, LeBron is a wizard. He is an encyclopedia. I don't know how any coach can coach LeBron because he's always going to think he knows the better play. He's smarter than him. Most coaches haven't survived LeBron. So you would need somebody with really, really thick skin. You're going to need to line it all up. You have the roster spot. You don't care about Bronny. You get LeBron. Maybe you're willing to take the risk and your coach can stomach it.
How about the Spurs? You think Pop?
Oh,
come on now.
No way.
No way. That interferes with Wemby too much.
Yeah, there's
that
no
interferes
way.
With Wemby's development. No chance. I think Philly's an interesting place for that. It really, I like that. I actually like that. All right. Any other?
I have here? A quick one. I just want to say my heart was warmed by the turnout for the memorial service for Mort in Arkansas this week.
Yeah.
And I think the reason for that is not only was he beloved, but we are never going to see an NFL insider with his talent and chops. I mean, now they're all social media influencers. They're hangers on with the players. Mort was a legit good sports journalist before he became an insider, and just the most well-respected one of all. And you had hundreds and hundreds of people, including GMs and coaches and sports celebrities, show out for him. And again, I think it's because he was the best. So it was nice to see.
Good one. Good one. All right. I'll wrap it up. The Emilia Romagna Grand Prix is this week. That's it. Check out a little F1. Hey, guys, have a good week. We'll be back next week. See you guys.
The SMQBs are Brian Bandwagon Pope, who hails from Dallas, Texas, and has never met a first-place team that he didn't have a personal connection to. Michael Rooster Phelan, hailing from Richmond, and who roots for teams from New York, or is it Boston? I can't remember which it was. One or the other. Also, Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa Bay. And he is still massively in love with Tom Brady and will never get over his man crush on the GOAT. Toby House Milrod, a long-suffering sports fan hailing from Philadelphia, whose Eagles team, they're still looking for another quarterback. And I am Chris Bison Nace, hailing from Washington, District of Champions. Thanks for listening.